Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is an emergency presentation of Fired Up. Okay, guys, I don't know what happened there. So I guess my monologue's gone to...
You had to start too quick.
All right. Okay. I don't know what happened there, but let's just get going, you know? I'm getting double feedback, though. I hear myself twice, though. So I'm not sure what's happening here. So anyway, while I figure that out on my end, G, let's start with you. Give me your initial thoughts on the second assassination attempt, and then we'll go to Annette.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of notes here that we're going to go through, but man, this is just terrible. Dan Bongino went in front of a few senators a few weeks ago. There was a Senate hearing on the first assassination attempt. And it's crazy that now I have to say the first assassination attempt instead of the assassination attempt. And Dan Bongino in that interview and the panel said that this will happen again. Now, we're all grateful that he didn't get any shots off, it sounds like. Didn't get any shots off. It might have been the Secret Service who actually shot first. It looks like this guy actually ran and left all his weapons behind and a GoPro. But it's just terrible. It's terrible. Dan Bongino called it. He said that this will happen again. The rhetoric is just so high, so bad in this country that, you got unstable individuals who are going to take literally a presidential candidate and the president of the United States saying Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and they're going to take it literally. And it looks like this assassin also took it literally. On Twitter, he's saying that Donald Trump needs to be defeated in order to save democracy. And maybe he took things into his own hands. So I know you have a lot of details, William, to go through. I don't want to give too much away, but just terrible that it happened again. And while you were rebooting, after Dan Bongino called it a couple weeks ago, said, this will happen again. And now we have a second, the operative word being second, assassination attempt against Donald Trump.
No, and thanks for your guys' patience. In prepping for the show and checking to make sure we're set up properly, once we got the mainstream set up, I didn't shut down the Rumble or the YouTube. So I'm hearing all these voices three or four times. It's like I'm in a sanitarium with all the echoing. It was on me. I apologize. Thank you, G. So, Ms. Annette, what are your initial thoughts when you heard about this? Oh, and I'm sorry, G. Before we go to you, G. Annette, I'm sorry, G. When did you first hear about the assassination attempt?
I was in my car and I was driving, and listening to the football game. And then, you know, I have my phone over to the side on my vent and I see the notification saying, shots fired next to, at the golf course near Trump, which is the same exact that actually the first assassination attempt, I was in Hawaii looking for a parking spot. And I was idling behind this car and I saw a similar notification and I took my phone and I went to landscape. Well, I opened up YouTube TV, went to landscape mode and started watching while I was idling there. And, both times, same exact situation, sitting in a car.
Wow. And you, Annette, what were your first initial thoughts and where were you when you heard it?
I was getting into the car. Bill was picking me up and he said, you won't believe what happened. And he said there were shots fired and it was the Trump. And I said, I can't believe it. This is so frightening to me. And it's such a disgrace. Again, I feel like what the rhetoric calmed down for maybe 2 minutes. Yeah, really. They were talking about how important it was that we toned it down and that we didn't use like the inflammatory sort of language about Trump and about what he was going to do and that he was like Hitler-esque. You know, all that was going to change because it really was so scary to see him on that podium taking a shot, right? But that lasted literally a day. And then all of a sudden we had this. And this was like, wow. Is anyone even phased? I don't know. I guess they're more worried about, like, I think, you know, G's referring to that, that guy, you know, Dan Bongiorno? No, Bongiorno.
Bongino.
And I think he mentioned something about they were more concerned about the color of the ties, making sure that it didn't, like, look like they were being really supportive of Trump. I'm like, where is the, what are we doing? This is disgrace. It is scary and disgraceful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And before I start, a big thank you to Big John. Today's a family day for him, so I'm sure, you know, him stepping up and getting this all set up for us. Thank you. And thank you for everybody for tuning in today. Hit like, hit share. And my thoughts were I went to a wonderful memorial service for a woman who was taken too soon at 74. She's conservative, so I'm sure she'd be as shocked as we are right now. She was a devout Christian, very godly-esque, and I loved her to death because all the work that we're doing, she supports. And, you know, when you have those fans who will just listen to you talk and they're like your cheerleading crew, she was that. So, I came back from that wonderful memorial service and sat down, and I was so stuffed from all the great food everybody brought that I'm like, with a cup of coffee, vegging out. So then I'm like, okay, I got to get to work. Sunday's my biggest work day. And I sit down and I see somebody live or on space, you know, doing a live stream, what we are. And I'm like, what are they talking about? The Trump assassination attempt right now. And then as I'm looking at my notes, I'm like, oh my God, they have a second one, you know? And I'm not shocked, you know, no disrespect to Dan Bongino, but there were, a lot of us are like, after what, 2 days, it was, back to the rhetoric, you know, Trump, as you said, Trump is a threat to democracy. And, so I am not shocked. I am not stunned. And let's be honest. When Kamala says at a debate, it's going to be another bloodbath, and she's insinuating Trump's minions are going to start or want to start a civil war, want to start riots, et cetera, et cetera. And she's not fact checked. I view not only the Democrat party, I view this as validation. It's a Democrat party and their rhetoric that is creating this along with the mainstream media allowing it to happen. And that's why I'm saying my Trump is the Punisher. That guy's taking it and, he's going to have to start dishing it out. He's going to have to start coming out. And he did it at the debate. And the debate was the first time is I took a bullet and it's because it was your rhetoric. Remember, I can't remember the exact line, but he pretty much said it's your rhetoric that started this. Well, let's get into some details about this. And one details, guys, correct me. Do not let me slip. I believe it was somebody said it was an AK-47. The early reports I heard was AR-15. So I haven't been able to see that. So if you guys know, please.
I was seeing AK-47. For sure.
Right, AK-47. Yeah. And on a side note, they tried to frame my father in Vietnam by trying to bring one over. My father was not like that. But anyway, so, okay, our producer has stepped in, Big John, AK-47 with a scope, you know, 300 to 500 yards away. As somebody who goes shooting all the time, once you get a scope, based on the quality of the scope, 300 to 400 yards is not far away. You know, there are, you have wind and all that. I'm sure the hardcore people will tell you. But a scope has just really changed the landscape completely in shooting rifles. But anyway, so the gunfire was reported near Trump's International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, Florida. That was a shocker. I assumed it was a rally when I first heard of it. And I'm like, oh, he was golfing. And it's funny because he's such a golfer. My first thought was, what joke is he going to sit there and talk about this? And he was talking to Lindsey Graham, and I guess he told Lindsey Graham what he was shooting, what if he was like under five or something. I'm not a golfer, but under five par. So there's Trump's humor and his love of golf still. But the incident occurred around 1:30 today. I assume that's Eastern, today being September 15th. And he was playing between the fifth and sixth holes of the 18-hole layout. To golfers, that's probably important. But Secret Service agents spotted an individual with a firearm near Trump's golf club and opened fire. And the suspect was positioned 300 to 500 yards away. Again, depending on what scope it was, that's a very doable shot. But hell, the first one was even closer, you know. He was shooting from a densely vegetated area. I mean, that common sense would dictate something like that. And it's uncertain if the shots were directed specifically at Trump or just fired in his vicinity. I'm like, you don't do all that just to fire shots to scare somebody, you know? So my thought process is they were firing to kill Donald Trump. After being shot by Secret Service, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, there was not really a chase, but they were able to track him down because of the help of a civilian with a camera who was able to get the make of the car. But after he got shot by Secret Service, he abandoned his rifle and escaped through the underbrush. And the FBI is treating this as an attempted assassination. And from there, G, and because of the rapidness of trying to get this up, you found a post of this gentleman, and tell us a little bit about the post, about 20 minutes, and as to why, you know, he wanted to go fight, I think, for Ukraine, or it showed, and while the topic may have been anti-Trump, it showed to me kind of like this is what a brainwashed individual looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a video of Ryan Wesley Ruth, and it was posted, I believe, on his Twitter or Facebook page. It was a Romania Newsweek interview, and I believe it was over a Zoom call or something. And he was talking about fighting for Ukraine. So this must have been maybe early to mid 2022, because we know Russia invaded Ukraine at the end of February of 2022. And at halfway through the video, he actually got emotional about fighters coming into Ukraine, foreign fighters coming into Ukraine and fighting for the cause. So he seemed to be very pro-Ukraine. And for the record, I am too. I think I hope Ukraine comes out ahead in the war here. But he seemed to be overly emotional about it. And so, you know, it would lead one to wonder, okay, well, Trump saying that he's going to end that war before he gets sworn in on January, whatever. Maybe he views that as Ukraine surrendering part of its territory, and maybe that's not something he wants. That could be a speculative viewpoint on the shooter's motives. But of course, luckily he was taken in unharmed. And there he is. He's taken in unharmed. So now he can be interrogated as to what he was doing.
Yeah, you know, it's we're not going to talk about Ukraine, but that's such not controversial, but it's I think America's kind of tired of all of this, all these wars, all these money being spent, and it's caused such a divide now in terms of people wanting to help Ukraine versus people going, hey, let's help ourselves first. So right or wrong, it's become a controversial issue in and of itself. So Annette, you saw some of this, I believe. Your thoughts on him?
I watched the entire thing, G. Thanks for sending it over, because I watched it and I thought, this person is not okay. It did not make a lot of sense. I understand someone being concerned about a situation that's happening overseas, something they feel passionate about. Obviously, he's a patriot. He seemed to be upset that more people aren't there defending that cause. It just seemed the passion that he had for it, and to the degree that he was upset by it. I mean, it wasn't clear to me if there's a reason that he knew somebody there or what the connection was, why he picked this to be so emotionally distraught over, and why he was over there and begging people to come and fight for this cause alongside him, and why there weren't more people doing it. He seemed very perplexed that there wasn't more support, wasn't more people coming up. And I just felt like this person is not okay. He didn't seem like it was stable thinking to me. And I felt like Yet I didn't feel he was recklessly the kind of person who might be reckless and do what he just did. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't, like, right. From that video, didn't really make that connection. He didn't seem okay to me. Didn't understand what he was saying, why he was so passionate about this. But on the other hand, I'm like, that he's got this patriotic shirt, you know? He seemed, is he a patriot? To me, like, if you're a patriot, you're like, do you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't really make sense to me.
You know, my first experience with this and Americans going to different wars was in reading on the Spain war, the Franco war, where a lot of English and a few Americans went over to the fight. And it wasn't for a family ties. It was for ideology. To me, being born and raised in Panama as an American citizen, starting to understand communication as a child and indoctrination is and the reason I say it's controversial, the Ukraine war, is because I look back to 2014. I have a libertarian take belief system. And in 2014, we helped overthrow a duly elected Ukrainian government because the government that was elected was more aligned with Russia. And because of that, we helped a coup. It's also been known as one of the most corrupt nations in the world in money laundering, being for others being able to. So I'm not saying I'm anti-Ukrainian as much as it's not as black and white as people. Plus, after the World War II, we told Russia as part of our agreement post-war that we would not push NATO to their doorsteps. And that's all every president seems to have done in our lifetime since the Berlin Wall fell. And it's, again, I'm just stating the facts, and that's why I'm like, I don't think it's black and white. So when I see him, I see a product of the mainstream media, of the neocon message. As I told you guys a few podcasts, or maybe last podcast, I come from a family we all serve. I think there's easily over 100 years of military service in just my immediate family. My brother, my half brother was a commander of his own ship in the Coast Guard. My dad was an E-9, made E-9 in 14 years. And if you're in the military right now, you're going, yeah, sure, right, rolling your eyes. That's what I would do too. But he made it in 14 years. That's impossible today. It was unheard of when he did it. You know, all three of my sisters served, my brother served, and I served. So uber patriotic. You know, after the second Iraq invasion, I was why are we there? And that's when then the icing on the cake for me was when the Democrats, and it could have been Republicans in another war, who knows, said no to the IED, to the protecting the Humvees. So I came to an ugly realization of, you know, why I'm questioning why we really go into these. And to me, it's a military industrial complex, a scam. It's a grift by them. It's one of the greatest hundreds of millions, billions of dollars worth of grifts. So when I see him, and gee, I'm not trying to take anything away from your thoughts in terms of who you want to win. So I don't want you to, I'm not looking for a fight here. I'm just trying to explain why I see him. So when I see him, I see a misguided individual. I see somebody who's been brainwashed by the media machine, by the government machine, by the military industrial complex. His beliefs are going over there, to me, are without rational thinking. But again, it's not strange to humanity. The Brits did it against Franco, so as did some Americans. And we have Americans serving over with Israel. And that's one thing I don't agree with, is us giving these people, these individuals benefits as if it was an American war, because it's not. You know. So I look at our country is responsible for creating this individual. To me, there's no other way to put it. We can put the blame on him. He's a nut job. He's this. He's that. But he became this way because of what he saw on television. What people.
Well, I just linked in the private chat a tweet, which I wonder if I can share.
I don't know, Big John. Can he share?
I have a share screen button here, and it looks like I can. So let's try this. All right, you guys see it?
I don't see it, so let me pop it open.
There it is.
Yes, you can.
All right, so it makes me wonder, is he really, like, when you listen to that video that you were showing, he seemed pretty coherent. And then I'm looking at this, and he's talking about trying to get soldiers from Afghanistan on a recruitment effort. And I have to wonder what that's all about, because a nut job doesn't go down there and say, okay, well, I'm going to go down now to Afghanistan and try to recruit people. So this is interesting, because was this guy down there on the down low for some reason? I don't know. What leads me to think that he was acting on his own is that he did a live presentation with Newsweek, and a hidden military asset wouldn't do that, right? They would stay completely on the down low. So this guy wanted attention, but this is bizarre. I mean, he's recruiting Afghanis to fight in Ukraine.
Right, right. Gee, they couldn't see the font here. I'm going to share my screen there. I've maximized it. That's a
okay, great.
There, I think they can read it now. I'll let you have the pleasure of reading it to the audience, though. Remember, just as a reminder, I thought about this the other day. We're also on Apple, Pandora, and Spotify. So those are not visual. So if you can read this out, what he was saying.
Yes, soldiers were working on getting invitation letters from Ukraine and the PAP, but soldiers must, and this is his language, from Ukraine and the PAP, the soldiers must be able to apply for their own visas and pay for all travel and expenses to get to Ukraine, and cannot ask any questions at all, in caps, at all, of any of Ukraine at contacts. It will still take 6 months to a year. I do not have time to respond to hundreds of Facebook messages. Send your passport and cover letter by WhatsApp, and I will respond to serious soldiers. Do not call me. And then he puts his phone number in. So, I mean, now that I read it, it does sound a little deranged, because he says, do not call me, and here's a number. So is that number his, or is it to use someone else's number?
He's recruiting. That's the whole purpose of that, is to recruit. To me, it sounds more like a draft. You can't ask this question. You got to pay for everything. It's like, you got to go pay to go get killed, you know, because at the end of the day, that's kind of what's happening right now. You know, he's misguided. I think that's the best way we can put it in terms of trying to be politically correct. I'm not going to see. And here's the humanization. This is why I tell people, if you're white, if you're black, if you're Latino, you got to get out and mix in with various cultures, because that's where the humanity in all of us comes out. It's your culture, your religion. It becomes another human being. So seeing this, it just tells me he's misguided. If I hadn't seen this, oh, just another Trump hater, blah, 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 and we become callous towards it. So I think it's important for us, as Annette likes to say, these discussions, the show. This is a guy, and I'm not even going to say he's nuts. He may not be nuts. He's just completely misguided and thinks he's doing things for the greater good. And some people call these individuals useful idiots. And sadly, that's what he is in this case, a useful idiot for the other side. Okay. Trump was unharmed and is safe, according to his campaign in the Secret Service. I just hit me. Trump's probably saying, that was the greatest shooting dodge I ever did, you know? I always think of Nixon. I am not a crook when Trump does the greatest of this, the greatest of that. However, I don't want to talk about it, but I do want to mention it, and I want a quick thought out of you two, because I want to talk about the investigation status and a little bit more specifics about Ryan Wesley Ruth. But many attribute the hide intentions to the rhetoric of the Democratic Party leaders and mainstream media coverage. I alluded to this early on. So before we get into a heavy discussion, agree or disagree, Annette?
I agree with that. Do you want me to elaborate?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead and elaborate.
We all have our own groups of friends on social media. So let's just say, how about my Facebook friends? They talk, first of all, many of them don't even believe. They believe the first assassination attempt was staged. No, that right there, guys, though, these are people that I know and grew up with. They really do believe that. They're putting out all kinds of, you know, Facebook posts on that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's one scary thought. And they do actually believe that there will be some sort of civil unrest very seriously, and that Trump wants to be a dictator for the rest of their lives. He will never forego power if he gets in power again. So, I mean, the fear is real, and they ramp it up. And I'm glad I'm listening to the other side, because these people, if you met them, you would think they were totally sane. So that means okay, go ahead.
I was just saying, before we get to G, our producer just said, oh, in other words, they're acting like Make America Great Again guys or people. and what our producer fails to realize is these are ideological believers. The people don't understand. When I use the word tribalism, I use it by its full definition, its full meaning, meaning you are tribalistic to your tribe. Your tribe can do nothing wrong. Even when your tribe does something wrong, you rationalize it away. You make excuses for it, and yes, you condone it. And what I try to tell our producer is, brother, there are 10 zillion libertarians that are tribalistic also. It's every party, every culture, every religion has its tribalistic morons, the outliers. The problem is the Democrat Party and the rhinos, because in my heart, a conservative, we take blacks, Latinos, we go, hey, come to a conservative meeting. You see them saying that? Come to a Trump rally. And to a T, I have never seen somebody from the other side or from a different idea or whatever come. Yeah, the stereotypes are true. No, it's like, ooh, I did not expect that. Everyone was so nice and polite. They actually talked about issues they disagreed with. We're the actual minority because we're the majority. We're the silent majority because our voices are drowned out on our side by the MAGA sycophants. And I mean those that are just true believers. Trump's still in charge. It's a shadow government. It's like, please. Or the people that you're describing, Annette, or the libertarians that think that the whole world is plotting against them secretly, you know, and they can't get elected, not because they run crappy candidates and bad philosophies that don't translate into political ideology. It's everything else. So every party has it. And why do we have religious wars? Because of ideological beliefs, you know. So these people, Annette, are everywhere in every party, in every culture. And I'm not trying to defend the Democrats or your friends. I'm trying to say I was chuckling because I'm not shocked. They are everywhere. And until it's going to take people like us to go, stop, slow down. Obama is not a god. He's not going to pay your rent. He's not going to pay your electricity. And he did it. So why are you all of a sudden shocked? And on the flip side, Trump is not a god. You know, he did not build the wall contrary to what you want to believe, you know. So it's on both sides. And I felt it's important to point that out in a situation like this. Because even though it's well-deserved, we're going to pile on the media and the other party. It's well-deserved. We have to realize they're the ones pushing it today. I just told somebody on a different podcast, a few hundred years ago was the Puritans, you know, and I've said it here on this podcast before, you know, they were screwed. If you sunk, well, you're not a witch. If you float and live, well, you're a witch. You're kind of screwed either way. And I'll always use that as an example because it epitomizes the no-win philosophy these individuals put on others. And in your case, they don't want to believe that their side can be as vile, as evil as they want to believe the other side is. They will knowingly lie to themselves. Some of these people know they're lying, but they feed into the lie towards the gullible. Gee, your initial thoughts here in terms of what I asked. And what I asked is many attribute the high intentions to the rhetoric of the Democrat Party leaders and mainstream media coverage. I just wanted to briefly.
Yeah, so I'll start with something Lester Holt said today, just a couple hours ago, that Donald Trump's rhetoric against the Springfield population, Springfield, Ohio population, has brought this on him. And I guess it was a teaser to a new segment later in the day or whatever. I thought that was just irresponsible because no one's going unhinged over they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, right? They're mm-hmm. not unhinged over that. I think it's absolutely saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Look, like we've always had this hypothetical posed to, you know, to okay. different people. If you could go back in time, and you could kill baby Hitler or adolescent Hitler, would you do it? Right? And then by doing that, you save 50 million deaths in World War II. Right? Mm-hmm. So looking at that, I think most reasonable people would say yes. I mean, that's an obvious trade, right? So when you call Trump a dictator, a threat to democracy, worse than Hitler or just as bad as Hitler, someone's going to take something, some matters into their own hands. And we've seen it twice now. So, absolutely.
Right. It's I learned reading comic books, there's a ripple effect. If you change something in time, there's no guarantee it's not going to happen again, but in a different way. You know, my point being is that's when I realized we don't know what would really happen if somebody did kill Hitler. What if somebody, you know, or better yet, the example I was talking with our producer a week or two ago is about dropping the bomb. And then I brought up on this podcast, well, had we not dropped the bomb, had we gone, how many millions more of our boys would have died? How much longer would the war, would the death toll have been the same, just in a different manner? We don't know. And that's the problem with society. It's easy to be that armchair greater and holier than thou, Jesus, behind your computer stating how you would handle it or how they should handle it. That's what my relatives used to call, y'all have some first world problems, meaning y'all create problems. We're just trying to feed our families down here, you know? And, we have a big tendency to do that. And as far as Lester Holt, see, this is my issue when it comes to somebody like Lester Holt, a beloved, minority figure, who earned his way to the top, who now abuses it. He knows he's kind of untouchable because of that. So he gets off on being able to say it. Me, go bleep yourself, Lester. You're a liar. You're the person that I just mentioned to Annette that knows the truth, but is purposely taking advantage of it. And you're just making the flames greater because of your anger and hatred towards Donald Trump, simply because you disagree at the fact that he raised Blacks, Latinos, Asians, and all Americans from the poverty. Why? Because you, Lester, live in an ivory tower, and you don't have to deal with that. But us everyday Americans do, and Donald Trump gave us the greatest economy. But you're okay with the crap we're going through right now because it doesn't affect you, because that big contract you have means you don't have to worry about tomorrow's bill, tomorrow's electricity, feeding the dog. We got to give up the dog because we just can't afford to feed him anymore. We need to use that money to go elsewhere. That's my problem with the Lester Holt of the world. And Lester Holt, an outlier, meaning he's in that top 1%. There's a lot of people in the top 20, 30%. They think the same way because they're not worried or they don't live in California, you know? So, so let's get to the investigation status.
Let me say something really quick though, William. Yes, ma'am. I mean, I think what G said was really important because that's how somebody who might be a little bit off, a crusader who needs a crusade, can rationalize it. You know, he's like, he's doing something that is like savior-esque. He's trying to save the people from this big problem that's looming and going to destroy our democracy. Do you know what I mean? So he can
rationalize. Are you talking about the shooter?
Yes, I feel like what G said is really a really interesting psychological point. I mean, people need to feel purposeful in their lives. He really seemed to say that that was something that he was seeking out, which is why he found something in Ukraine that he could say, like, we're doing something. We're being active. We need to be here. This is so important. You know, and now then that does translate into perhaps why he might try to do something like that he did, where he thinks he's saving. He's rationalizing it. He's doing this great deed. I don't know. I just think it's, psychology plays a big part in some of these things. You know, you gave him a lot of credit. Well, I just think, William, you gave him a lot.
No, you're right. You're right.
But you gave him a lot of credit when you said maybe we created it in terms of like the rhetoric that we're having in the United States. And part of that might be true, but I'm thinking more like it's something a little bit even deeper than that, like people and their search for meaning and how that can go awry as well.
Well, that's the part of the formula. What I was referring to, that's the end result. But I mean, how many times, G, as a man, we want to, you know, be whether Sergeant Rock, you know, from the comic book, or in real life, be Audrey Murphy, our most decorated war hero ever in any war, 5'6". You know, and the most decorated is like, hey, that's me. You know, so we romanticize this. And what you're talking about when you were describing him, I'm like, in a way, he's romanticizing it. You know, fighting for the greater good. You're giving your life. And my take, when I watch these movies, I'm like, well, that was real life. You're still dead. You know, it's like, you know, we don't look at the, how do you think they recruited for World War II? Uncle Sam needs you. You got to protect them, obviously. And I believe in that because of the country we were. But the people who aren't affected by that are usually the rich and the elites. Son, don't believe in that. I'm sending your ass to private school. You know, we're the ones who go send them to that. I mean, Liz Cheney, there's no skin off her back, you know. She's doubly protected.
I think one thing we should consider, and let me be clear, there's absolutely zero evidence for this, right? And I'm not throwing Zelensky under the bus. But if you've used Donald Trump's election as him losing the war, is he beyond sending someone here? Right?
No, actually.
That needs to be looked into. I mean, I think Zelensky's the good guy, but is he beyond doing that? He might be.
No, he might not be, I should say. No, you're right. The theory, the question is a well-posed question. The problem is it's not about Zelensky winning the war. It's about the corruption and how they're funneling those billions now that we have sent over into their own coffers. I mean, see, people forget. There was Zelensky's wife shopping, paying 29,000 or some tens of thousands during the middle of the war. Shopping on whatever equivalent Rodeo Drive she was on at the moment. There's Zelensky's people getting caught with millions of American dollars, you know? So, to me, when you combine that with the corruption of the Ukraine for generations, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating by saying generations, but at least for the last 15, 20 years, I'm like, that's what Zelensky is worried about. See, and it's not just Zelensky. Look at all the Middle East so-called peacemakers who at the end of the day did not want peace. The Khomeini is worth like a couple of billion. Yasser Arafat was a billionaire. You know, the current Hamas leaders are, I don't want to say they're billionaires, but they're worth millions. Where does that money come from? It doesn't come from their own countries. It comes from Western countries. Why? Because we have fallen into this belief that money will solve anything. I think if Zelensky wants to keep it going, it has nothing to do with Ukraine, its belief system. It has everything to do with his coffers. But that said, I think your question, theoretically, is a great question for ethics. You know? Okay. So let's get back to Ryan Wesley Ruth. We talked about his mental makeup and what we thought and who he is. He was apprehended after the incident. He was not armed at the time of his arrest. That's because he tossed the rifle to the side, which I find ironic because a lot of times you'll read worldwide these assassination attempts. There's usually a gun. They want to kill themselves. You know, they get caught. You know, so he did not, you know. Law enforcement confirmed he was the shooter due to a witness's photo of his vehicle. Thank God for technology. The suspect was reportedly carrying an AK style, which it turns out was actually an AK-47. Is that right? AK-47?
Where's Big John? I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Correct. And that's an old Russian rifle. One of the most durable, one of the most steady. You know, we crack on Russia a lot, but that is arguably, you can grab that. It's still used in war today, that rifle, because that's how durable, how well made it was. Simple, and well, every gun is deadly, you know. He was carrying two backpacks and a GoPro camera, suggesting an intent to document the action. When I read that, it reminded me, I don't know if you guys are too young, and I can't think they had this series of Faces of Death movies, and my friends were all into it, I could only watch 10 minutes of that, where they would have videoed of all these grotesques. Maybe that's what he was going for there. After abandoning the rifle, the suspect jumped into a black Nissan that was left in a strategic location for a quick getaway. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, you think? You know? And the bystander photographed the vehicle, capturing its license plate. And that guy's a hero. You know, a lot of people, but is I want to think of him as a hero for doing that. But at the same time, how many times that we see people get up and there's somebody go for, you know, videotaping it? It's more human nature nowadays. And using advanced surveillance technology, which I'd be curious to know what it is, probably cameras, you know, in certain spots, the suspect was tracked. The I-95, for people that don't know it, is a major interstate that runs up and down the East Coast. The I-95 highway apprehended at gunpoint. And that when apprehended, the suspect was unarmed and appeared relatively calm, not showing much emotion. First of all, we'll go to G. G, your thoughts on what was just stated in terms of the reports of who of the actual situation. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on the fact that he was relatively calm, not showing much emotion as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is just amazing that they could act upon that so quickly. I mean, one, you have the bystander who recognized what was going on, and I wonder how that bystander recognized that. That's very interesting to me that he would say, okay, this guy's running, so I need to take a picture of his car, or did he see the Secret Service chasing after him, right? And then he goes, oh, I should take a picture and document this guy. So that's very interesting. So then quickly, and this is, I mean, you said this technology is amazing, but this technology scares me. Using advanced surveillance technology based on a photograph of the vehicle, capturing his license plate. So they must have captured his license plate. They figured out where this guy was.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
So, I mean, that's a little scary to me. I mean, it's good in catching the bad guys.
Yeah.
But when you're a good guy, I mean, we're not getting away, right? If this thing does go down as a totalitarian state one day, we're not getting away for anything. I mean, they're going to track us down for whatever. But I'm glad they caught this guy. And he was calm, not showing much emotion. So I saw somewhere, I don't know, I was watching a lot. They were saying, oh, well, we never really got the truth because Lee Harvey Oswald was never caught. I'm like, no, he was caught. He was just killed. Mm-hmm. And he was relatively calm and didn't show much emotion and just said, I'm a patsy. So what's this guy going to say? I think he's going to say something to the effect of, I'm a patsy. I was set up. So just wait for it. I believe that's what we're going to hear out of this guy, and that's what's going to come out.
You know, Annette, maybe he's hoping for Kamala to promote that GoFundMe account to get him out of jail. So somebody else can have a shot again, you know. So what are your thoughts in terms of the process of how they caught him and your thoughts on how relatively calm and no emotion?
I had the exact same thought as G when I read that about, I'm like, where are we living? Are we in a surveillance state? I just feel like and I guess she's right. I mean, that's great when you're trying to catch the criminal. But to me, I feel like everywhere we go now, we're being documented. We're being watched. You know what I'm saying? That's a very scary thought. That's a very, you know, dystopian, you know, we're headed into that sort of like dystopian world. In terms of his demeanor, I mean, that's exactly what they don't want you to do, is get sort of like fixated on these kinds of people who do really intense things like this and like try to figure out their psychology, you know, but I am fascinated by people who do extreme things sometimes, and I wonder about them, and I don't understand why he was so calm or apathetic or not trying to be really defensive or really emotional. I would imagine I would be so neurotic and anxious and spastic in that situation in a full-on sweat. And he's just sort of like, yeah, I don't know. I can't figure that one out.
You know,
I will take one thing back. Lee Harvey Oswald, he was caught in a theater. And when he saw the police coming and closing in on him, he said, this is it. And then tried to shoot the sheriff or one of the police officers. But he was tackled. So he wasn't calm and not showing much emotion, but once he was arrested, he was calm.
Clover has issues with you dishing on Lee Harvey Oswald, brother. Yeah.
Nice. Sorry, guys.
And Lee Harvey Oswald was probably trying to get himself killed. That's very common. You know, the shoot at a cop, so they'll kill you. So again, my theory of a lot of these guys are ready to end it. You know, I guess I don't know what to say to this because, and Big John will probably agree with me, our producer, that I have felt we have lived in a surveillance state for a while now. We are like just getting started. Over in Europe, it's been like this for a few decades now. And you're right, they play it off on the public, and they're wonderful when you're trying to catch a killer. But this is why I try to tell Democrats, don't be loving the fact that they're targeting Trump prosecutorially, because that's just one step. I mean, they can monitor everything you do. They can track. I mean, people don't realize that the government can go in and take your check, garnish your check from your bank, and you have direct deposit. I mean, we have been living in a surveillance state. We're just in the minor league, starting to show major league potential in our monitoring compared to Europe. But so I guess I kind of wrongly assumed that most people understood this is the road we are going down, but hearing you both of your reactions, it's like, wow, I didn't realize that people had no clue. I'm not saying y'all don't have any clue on this, but hearing you guys talk, that's what it kind of sounded like. I was like thinking, do they not understand this is happening now? In fact, when these things happen, my take is, why haven't they caught it? What do you mean, talking about? Well, we got all the surveillance. I mean, it's true. They can use a satellite to come down and track you. Now, it's not exactly like Tom Clancy says it is, but we have that technology now. You know, so if anything comes out of this, I hope some people do notice it. Wow, they're able to track you. Ooh, that's not good. You know, I mean, it's hard. This is terrible, but I'm like, the one positive, this should hopefully derail people from committing murder, you know, without the technology. Now, you would think, you know, but that said, we assume because of this that most murders will be solved. Most still aren't, you know.
Right. I was going to say, then why are there so many unsolved murders? I was literally took the words out of my mouth.
Because I would say this kind of technology, maybe not surveillance, but DNA technology, increased the number of murders. And the reason why is if you do something to someone, you need to dispose of them now, right? Because there's DNA on them, and now you have to
increase or just make a better mastermind criminal. You know?
Either way, but I don't know. I don't know the stats on it, but I would just imagine that it may be, you know, someone who assaults a woman, he's thinking, oh crap, now I've got to do away with her. Whereas maybe 50 years ago, they would have said, get out of here, right? So.
Yeah, no, you're right. But we are digressing, but that's a great topic.
But William, why did you think he was calm then? What was your thinking about that?
Oh, my thinking is we live now in a society that we're not punishing these people. Our urban centers, when I say urban, the big cities, they're like revolving doors for criminals. The mainstream media has actually, when Bernie Sanders and the softball field, whatever the incident where they tried to shoot it, the mainstream media was rationalizing it. When you have people like Vindman's wife, Vindman being a big player in the Ukraine incident, in terms of the fake phone call or the phone call that they were lying about Trump making, in terms of what he was trying to do with the phone call. His wife came out, Gia, and I'll show you here shortly. She made a comment like, no big deal. You know, so we live in an era where when you do things, you stop and go, whoa, there's consequences. Where the consequences, he's seen himself as a hero. And that's alluding to what you were talking about earlier, a hero to the people. I tried to take out Hitler Jr. That could be going. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's what's going through his mind, but I think it's the world we've created since. And it's easy to say it started with Obama. A big chunk of it got cemented with Obama, but I think it started with Bush not caring about the American people and bailing out the all these institutions, and people started thinking they don't care about us, so they stopped thinking about their own consequences. And these aren't hard theories in the sense to me. I look at them as little seeds being planted here, and they've all bloomed, and it's gotten us to the point we're at right now in the way of how people think and how people act. And you've also got to look at technology. Somebody just said there was a study done I shows all the video games. I guess the technology, it's our dopamine levels, and then you have our estrogen, our testosterone. It's, we live in a world where everything is promoted and pushed up, you know, in a manner that's,
amplified.
Yes, amplified. Everything's amplified to an extreme, and the rhetoric, et cetera, for this. But let's keep moving here, though, here real quick. This is a second assassination attempt. So let's get into it here for about 10 minutes before we close the show out. Because at the heart of this is, why did it happen? And we kind of started that discussion. I think we live in a highly amplified, extreme, country now, in both specifically in tribalism, you know? So, G, how much do you think the Democrat Party, I'm going to do them separately, the Democrat Party has helped cause this? Because let's be honest, all these type of events seem to be coming more from Democrats than there are conservatives, you know, these type of events.
Yeah, I think it comes from the rhetoric that the party leaders are using. And so this guy is obviously has posted tweets and Facebook posts saying, you know, condemning Donald Trump. And actually, I did see somewhere he was actively advocating for Nikki Haley, which leads me to think that he just wanted Nikki Haley to be the Republican nominee. And again, it goes back to the Ukraine thing, because if you think of the Ukraine or Nikki's platform, she wanted to support Ukraine. So I think this guy, it always comes right back to Ukraine. And Donald Trump saying, we're going to bring an end to the war.
Oh, that good point.
That doesn't mean that Ukraine ceases to exist. That doesn't mean Russia comes out of Ukraine completely and Ukraine regains all of the Donbass region. It probably means Russia gets to keep what they've taken, which are predominantly Russian-speaking people, and Ukraine keeps what it has, and then that war ends. And I think that's what this guy was going for, and that's where the Democrats are. And, you know, Kamala's going around bragging about all the neocons coming over to her party. I mean, Dick Cheney. I thought Dick Cheney was Darth Vader.
You can have Dick Cheney, my best friend. Now, we do know that she does like a lot of Cheney. That's how she moved up that career ladder. Yes. So, okay, Annette, I want to get your comment here, but to me, this epitomizes the rhetoric and the hate indirectly. It's not calling for we got to kill him or assassinate him, but it creates this level of hate where people think irrationally. And let me share the screen here. Extreme Make America Great Again Republicans are the party of a national abortion ban and Trump's Project 2025. And both of those are unadulterated lies. He knows, just like Lester Holt, he knows what he tweeted was a lie. But I think that's what we're getting from the party to create. But before you answer, let's say hello to Tiffany Vinci. As you guys know, we're starting up. We love everybody there. Does anybody know Tiffany? Do we know you?
We do.
I figured it was Annette. Tiffany, Annette, it just struck me.
We both know her. She's awesome.
Well, thank you for supporting us, Tiffany. Now, and feel free to ask a question anytime. You know. Okay, so Ms. Annette, if you can respond to the Hakeem. And Hakeem Jeffries, for those of you who don't know, is the House Minority Leader for the Democrats.
Yeah, no. So therefore, people take, well, I don't know why anybody would think anybody wouldn't lie. So I don't know why, you know, I guess he's stoking their fear, which has been happening for a long time. So yeah, he's a leader. So people want to believe that he's going to have more integrity, and they want to believe, but of course he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's stoking fear in people. And those are the things that he knows is going to trigger people, because the women are scared about the abortion thing. And he's going right for that jugular. I mean, he knows exactly. And the 2025 thing that Trump definitely said in the beginning of this debate, never read it, don't have anything to do with it. Let's bring it back. Let me scare you guys. It's going to be a different dystopian world, and he's going to be the one who's controlling it and controlling you. That's just, it's just, I mean, honestly, it's boring at this point to me. And I just want to say something else about the guy who did this attempted assassination. I think you made a really good point. Although I think when Trump was in office, I wouldn't think he'd be as scared about Ukraine, because didn't Ukraine have a lot more integrity as a country when Trump was the leader here? I think.
Well, not integrity as much as
wholeness, though.
Well, what? No, not integrity as much as they weren't going to bleep around with Trump as president because they knew there were repercussions.
Right. So integrity is the wrong word. But I meant integrity in terms of, like, integrity being whole. There wasn't as much of, like, that there was, like, we don't really know how Trump would respond to that. So they sort of backed off a little bit. But also, I think you said something about video games, and I had two thoughts about that. One is that I think there's a disconnect with people now that there wasn't before. In this new age, do you know what I mean? Like with all of the social media and also video gaming and also all kinds of ways that people interact, there's like a disconnect. And I think that's a real thing. And you also mentioned something earlier that made you think more about apathy, which plays into the disconnect. That's why I also thought maybe this guy really didn't react that much, that he was just apathetic. Like, there's a numbness out there, too. There are people fired up, but there are also people that are just numb. They're just, like, awash in, like, this constant barrage of, like, the bread and circuses. They're just sort of in this numb sort of, like, not pleasure state, but you know what I'm saying? But it is not real.
No, I get it. I want to tell the audience to be apathetic is to have no feeling, being devoid of emotion. And Annette, you are absolutely correct in there. Video games, to me, they've made killing very apathetic, meaning and I'm not going to put the whole blame on video games. There's a big part of it. And the dopamine levels, how it takes you to an extreme mental. It's not good to let games babysit your kids, parents, but I understand why you do it. I mean, I do, but you're going to have to find some bouncer. But that's a great term.
Pieces of it. Apathy. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So going back to
it's the opposite. Ashley William, apathy is the opposite of love. It's not really hate. Because hate is love, passion. I think you can still turn a hater. How do you turn someone who just doesn't care anymore? How do you make them care about anything? I think apathy is worse than hate, in my opinion.
Love. That's how. You got to show them love.
Love. I agree. I'm big love.
Yeah. So let's get back to some of Trump's enemies. And this is another reason people don't care anymore. This is Rachel Vindman, wife of Mr. Vindman. Hold on one second. Let me pull there. Wife of Mr. Vindman, who was involved in the Ukraine incident. He was a big proponent saying Trump was bad, this or that, his call. That's why he should be impeached. She's a bad human being. So when people like this guy, Ryan, hear this, no ears were harmed, carry on with your Sunday afternoon, that's rationalizing. See, he's a bad man. There's an important woman who's married to an important man. I mean, Vindman is a loser. Vindman is somebody who served. We serve with these officers who are ticket punching. All they care is about moving up. They don't care how many of their people die. Or most of them have never served in a war and commanded people. But then they reach their politics takes them to career paths and ranks they don't deserve. That is Rachel Vindman's husband. She's a bad human being, but she's got a lot of followers. Look, that got 8.3 million views, you know. So it's just a bad scene all around. Big John just tweeted me, our producer, the professor once asked his students, what's worse, apathy or ignorance? And the students responded, we don't know and we don't care. Is that sarcasm there from Big John? Yeah. My take overall is, the media has helped construe this by defending when their side does things. They defended the BLM riots. They lied, flat out lied about them. They defended Biggins and property damage. They didn't care that in these urban areas, it was Black and Asian businesses of working class that were destroyed. They didn't care because they weren't affected. When Bernie Sanders' supporter tried to almost kill Steve Scalise and almost killed other Republicans, they rationalized that. Well, this is why he did it. We got to talk about this because this is why he did it. You know, and it's just Lester Holt's comments, you know, stating his reasons. Ms. Vinmans, they are creating this environment. You know, in fact, let me play it here. I'm pretty sure I have it here somewhere before we end the show. Oh gosh, I can't seem to find it right now. It's Kamala Harris asking on Ellen DeGeneres' show. She asked him, if you're on an elevator with Donald Trump and other Republicans, Dick Cheney may have been one of them, that she said before she fell in love with Dick, you know, which should not strike us as strange.
Yeah, let me find it. I can find it here while you're talking. Yeah.
She said it as a jest, but you can't joke like that anymore for two reasons. One, if it was a Republican, they'd be ostracized. They would be castrated politically and gone away. But when a Democrat does it, no big deal. And as a rational human being, I'm like, yeah, no big deal. But we live in a hypersensitized environment, world now. So you can't say things like that. You got that up there, G? Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah. Let me pop the song. Give me a second here. And then I've got to allow audio. Here we go.
All right. If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
There you
have it.
Tackled
for like a good 5 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and I'm not gonna do it, but I love Cactus. I love mocking her, Cactus. I always cackle. Oh, my wife's like, you don't have it yet. You don't have it yet. You know, but you know, you can't say that now in a hypersensitized environment. And the fact that she did that on that show just shows that the left doesn't care what they say, what they do, what they tweet. And it doesn't matter who these nut jobs or these misguided individuals try to kill, because they will rationalize it away. And until our politicians develop a spine and push back on it, because sometimes I feel like I'm alone on an island pushing back. Oh, William, you shouldn't be saying that, you know, or William, man, you're going to ruin any political career that you may thought of. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm going to speak the truth as I see them, with my truth being built around growing up watching two dictators being told by friends and family, you need to shut up or we'll be taken away at night. I have seen real oppression. I have seen real dictatorship, and we are headed down that road, people. And until we realize that, again, the surveillance state's a great example. To me, that's just, yeah. And back before they had all the technology, it was paying your local neighbor, you know, paying your people to go knock you out. So that's always been the case, and that's happening here. So before we leave this, I will and yes, Tiffany, we do agree with Annette a lot here. You know, apathy is opposite of love, but you should have complimented me and said the cure is more love towards that person. Annette, we'll go with you first. Your final thoughts on this whole incident. One, not necessarily your thoughts on it, but where do we go from here is what I'd like to hear from you.
Well, we have to be careful, I think, about what you just said, because of freedom of speech. I just don't. I think what she said was rude and obnoxious, and I think I don't think it would be treated as kindly on the other side, for sure. There's definitely rules for me, but not for thee, when it comes to the rhetoric on our side, right? And more than what right. They're allowed to say, even if it were to incite violence. However, I really do believe in our freedom of speech, even if it is rude and obnoxious. And I found her comments to be just absolutely disgusting, but I have to defend her right to say them. So where do we go from here? We continue to try to talk the truth on shows like this, get it out there, try to transcend ideologies, because I think that ideology has its place. I think ideology is really important, but we have to transcend ideology as well at times. So I think that the response is us talking, communicating, reaching people, hearing what their thoughts are about these things, and trying to share the truth as we begin to know and understand it.
I agree. And Mr. G, where do we go from here?
Well, we're going to see more information come out about what this guy's motives are. I don't think the left is apologetic about anything they've been saying, because like you said, just a couple days after the first assassination attempt, Biden came out and he disavowed the violence, but he also said, let's resolve this at the battle box. Okay.
Yeah.
I said battle box. You didn't mishear me and I didn't misspeak. Now, I know Biden misspoke. He meant to say ballot box. But it's just after that day, the rhetoric has gone right back to normal. And it's sad to say that I don't think it's going to change. And Trump gets elected, it's not going to change. There will be more attempts on his life. I think it's been normalized. That woman saying in that tweet, carry on your Sunday. Sunday night football starts in a couple hours. That's just saying, oh, well, and it's a sad state of affairs in our country.
I agree. My take is I got into politics heavily because of tribalism, specifically identity politics. As a Latino, and in fact, I was just talking to another Panamanian couple. I just happened, there's only 2 million of us, 2 to 3 million Panamanians world, with 2 million in Panama and the rest of us scattered around the world. And here I was at a memorial service, not knowing there's another Panamanian. We're both colones. And the running joke about me from my relatives being colones, being from the Colon district, it's like Compton. I mean, you look at me, you look at Compton, and of course, they were of darker skin, and we were laughing about it. And that's why I got involved in tribal politics. I'm like, my relatives in Panama are that complexion. You know, my Puerto Rican side is what I get. So I'm like, I have it on both sides. And to me, when I see this, I see you're trying to separate my family. You're trying to create tribalism amongst cultures, regardless of the culture, the love, the religion, whatever. You just want to create tribalism because you want to stay in power. You want to use American blacks to create a divide, to keep that vote. And so my take is we have to share individuals like this more often. This is how it will end. Trump hate was never organic. That bleep. And that's the reason I wanted to post this, not to show that word, but to show this is the change that's happening in minority communities. He was saying this, Trump's been charismatic for decades. Once he became president, the higher-ups had a vendetta against him because they lost so much money to Hillary. This was proven in the leaked video of CNN executives urging staff to criticize Trump every day. Then liberal college students ate it up and regurgitated the hate, rinse and repeat, sick, evil world. The reason I say that is because he's not the norm, and we need to start normalizing people like him, to show, yes, they are two sides. Because when Biden made that monolithic comment, I'm like, it is true politically. The data shows that. But they are not a monolithic people. And it made me realize Democrats want them monolithic. They don't want black Americans because we as Latinos, I know my history. I know a country. Most immigrants come. But blacks came here. They don't know where they're from, most blacks, what part of the Africa they are. When Africans come here, they don't view themselves as American black. So my whole point is to begin to end this, we must uplift all minorities. But specifically, we need to give platforms to conservative blacks and conservative minorities so they can start helping spread the gospel of truth. Because once that begins to happen, the Democrats are going to realize our quiver is empty. Maybe we should actually talk to issues instead of creating tribalistic politics. And I don't mean to put you two in a tough situation with what I just said, but that's what I believe in my heart. And that's why I got into this battle. One of my goals of Fired Up is to have a series, a derivative, Fired Up Racial Relations, where we bring our minorities, and including whites, blacks, Latinos, Asians. Let's have that talk on race that everybody says they want, but nobody actually wants to. And I'm sorry, G, I forgot Indian Sioux. I forgot that. And the hairy Greek. So we'll bring Big John on too. You know? But my point is, I really want to have that talk because I lose my own touch when I'm only around whites or Latinos. But when I was around the South with all my friends, we were so diverse, I looked at every human being compassionately. But what tribalism does, it takes that away from you. And it's easy to forget that humanity of ours. And it's not the same when you're not talking and living amongst them. Why? Because with upper income people, specifically white, they view us minorities as we're just dumb. They, what I'm saying, the ones that have practiced the subliminal racism, as I call it, meaning we have to help them because they're just not smart enough. I saw that almost every day towards my mother. You know, it's like my mother may speak broken English. She may be a simple woman, but she's not dumb, you know, and we're going to have an episode on that one day. There's a great video by Ami Horowitz that talks about that, shows them. Well, you know, blacks, they just don't have the technology. They don't know. It's like they don't know where the DMV's at. Then Ami went to Harlem. One guy was like, is this camera? Because he couldn't believe what he was seeing and hearing. So I believe that's how we begin to turn this tide. It's as simple as that. Because when you sit there and have one whole faction on your side, and then you have people like Jemele Hill being paid by these individuals spreading this hate, I think that's because it's gotten so out of hand. The BLM riots were all based off that. You know? Black Lives Matter. Tiffany, you're absolutely correct again. Black Lives Matter offended many black people. I do know a lot of black individuals who were offended. They're like, that's not me, William. That's not our people. You know, that's not who we are. You know, and she's absolutely right. So until we start talking about that, the hate will remain the same. And I truly believe, and that's education. And I don't mean education necessarily in the books. That's just education in getting to know and understand. When people come to my house at home in North Carolina, my parents' house, I'm like, I'm all about the food. Man, you got to try this. You got to try that. And then deep down, when they go, I tell them, you know, if you don't like it, don't worry about it. They're like, you okay with that? I go, that's more food for me. It's not like I have an infinite amount of food in that fridge and I'm going to be heading back home too. That's more food for me. Like, you don't like it, that's cool. But that's a way for us to introduce my culture to them. You got to try this dish. You got to try that dish. Most people, when they went to my house as a kid and I started talking in Spanish, it happened today too. They're like, oh, wow. I didn't know you were Panamanian. You speak Spanish? And I'm just rattling it off. It shocks them, but I don't get offended. Because I understand human nature and humanity, but they're teaching us to get offended for no reason except for tribalism. Anyway, I'm sorry to have droned on there, but that's what I truly believe in my heart will end this hate. Because Trump was beloved by everybody until he said he was a Republican. Then Democrats all of a sudden, no, he's racist. If he was so racist, why is Kamala trying to take his policies? Why did Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Andrew Jung, why did all those civil rights leaders want to be associated with him? Why did he donate money to their causes? Hell, why was one of his girlfriends black? Yeah, why did he help women? All he cared about was his business. You know, Big John may be right or wrong, I don't know, but Trump was smart enough to understand he needed to hire people who knew their jobs, and he didn't care if they were women or not. You know, Donald Trump Jr. may be his son that he loves, but it's been clear from the get-go he views Ivanka, is that the daughter's name? Ivanka, yeah. As the smart one, the one, the business one, the one that got tasked with her husband to help bring peace about in the Middle East. It wasn't Donald Jr. So Trump, you know, he was always that person before he came down that escalator and because of politics that changed. And that's why I get angry. You know, and it has nothing to do with skin color as much as the core of the person and what this country is supposed to represent. You know, G, you want to say something before we let you go? I mean, let us go.
No, not yeah, I'm good with those thoughts.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Once again, hit share, like, and you can check out this podcast as well as other Fired Up podcasts and our Libertarian podcast, our sports podcast, and our other politically related podcasts, the pop culture and sports at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as finding us on our social media platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Pandora, and Spotify under the profile handle Grumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar for Annette and G, and this has been Fired Up. And until next time, we bid you adieu.